Blind Cool Tech 91, September 101. Hey y'all, I'm Larry Skudkon. Having lunch out here today with a name that many of you will be familiar with, Guido Corona. Hey Guido.
Hey Larry, it's delighted to be here and have this absolutely unforeseen impromptu interview.
That's the way we do it on Blind Cool Tech. So I thought what we'd do is just talk with Guido. He has a really interesting career and some interesting products with the company he works for. And plus, he loves to talk anyway.
Oh, really?
So we hope you all will join us for lunch. And we're sitting outside in front of Cafe Lulu, about a block away from APH. And we've just been presented with some menus here, and we're going to hopefully persuade this nice young lady to read these.
Well, they're very glossy.
Yes, they are.
They feel very nice.
I like them.
Yeah.
They don't taste very good.
No. That vinyl feel.
So you were just telling me about an MP3 player you bought for your niece that's got an SD card.
That's right. The price drops all the time, and I did some search and I found this MP3 player on the Walmart site that I believe was about $49. In outwardly, it was nothing special because it had a quarter gig of storage, 256 megs plus.
Can I go get something to drink?
She already got it.
Oh, did they grab you already? Yeah. Okay, I just want to make sure.
But you know what? You could tell us probably the highlights of this menu if you would.
Well,
that'd be great.
Like the good parts?
Yeah, you can skip the bad parts.
Okay, skip the bad parts. What I personally like, as far as pasta goes, I like the shrimp pesto. And there's crawfish and tasso pasta that's really good. As far as sandwiches, the spinach artichoke roll is good. Chicken portobello roll. Italian sandwich is really good. Then pizza wise, I like the potato pizza. It has like potato, sausage,
onions.
It's surprisingly really good. I didn't know if I'd like it or not.
Doesn't sound good.
it has rosemary, potatoes, red onions, Italian sausage, marinara, mozzarella.
Oh.
And then smoked provolone cheese. Then I also like, the barbecue chicken pizza is really, really good. Barbecue chicken with green peppers, red onions, jalapenos, mozzarella.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Any other pizzas?
Yeah, we have all kinds. We have like I'm just trying to think what's really good. I haven't tried the Mediterranean. That has sun-dried tomatoes, Kalamata olives, eggplant, roasted garlic, Roma tomatoes, and feta cheese. I haven't tried that one yet.
Wow.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And I have no date tonight, so it's okay.
It's okay. It's all right, yes. There you go. And the roasted chicken pizza. A lot of people get that. That has the garlic sauce, roasted chicken, sun-dried tomatoes, and spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And garlic.
Very
of course. And then, of course, you can build your own pizza. Add anything you want on it.
Okay.
Are y'all thinking about pizzas?
I'm thinking seriously about pizza. I always think seriously about pizza.
Every second. Seriously thinking about it.
So is this like a whole large pizza that we'd split?
You can. There's a 10-inch pizza, and that has about 6 pieces on it.
Okay.
I can usually share that with someone and be full. But then we have the 14-inch, and it's a large pizza. It's a very large. You will definitely be taking some home if you get that one.
All right.
The 14-inch, so.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
And there's also, I haven't tried this one either, and a lot of people get that, the wild mushroom and chicken pesto pizza, which has the pesto, mozzarella, wild mushrooms, chicken, red onion, and roasted red peppers. But I haven't tried that one.
Okay.
I still need to branch out a little bit more.
Should we share a pizza?
Sure.
You choose.
And then we also have a soup of the day today. It's cream of asparagus. That interests you at all.
Oh, you know something else that's really good here is their meatball calzone.
Yes, that is good. I was telling them about the pizzas we had.
Okay. Here's your drinks for you.
Oh, thank you.
Y'all have a good lunch.
Thanks.
Thank you. The calzone.
Did you gentlemen need a couple minutes, or had you decided on something?
Did you want to go with the pizza, Guido?
Oh, we've got great
pizza. Let's go with the pizza.
All right. Are you all going to do one of our specialty pizzas, or just one of... going to build your own?
Specialty pizza would be fine. What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
How about the Oh, which one did she say was really good?
All of them. There was a Mediterranean that sounded very
let's
good.
Let's do that.
You want to try the Mediterranean?
Sure.
Do we want a 10-inch or a 14-inch?
Larry,
it depends. 10-inch will definitely feed two people. 14-inch will probably take some home. So I guess it depends on if you plan on trying to take it with you or not.
10 would probably be good.
Yeah, so that's probably all you need.
Yeah.
Everything that we have here, our portions are all humongous.
I know that from the sandwiches. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, my name is Emily. If you need something else, you just let me know.
Thank you kindly, Emily. All right.
So what brand is this MP3 player?
Well,
it's not an MPO, is it?
No, it's not MPO. I think we need to check with my better half. I know I have it on my computer, but let's see if Patricia has the brand.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious. That's such a good price.
It's an excellent price because, you know, for it's so it has a quarter gig of storage, the tuner. It can record from the radio, it can record through a built-in microphone, but the most fascinating thing is that it has an SD card slot.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point you can increase the memory to just about anything you want. There is a new version for $79 that has instead half a gig of storage.
Oh,
but why bother?
Yeah.
You know, why bother? Because it still has an SD card, a slot, so there is really no difference. You simply start from a different spot. I mean, nowadays an SD card, if you look at what's on sale, you may find a 1 gig SD card for $49 or $59. So
have you tried the recording on it? Do you know if it's a good quality recording?
I personally have not, because that arrived and we sent it off to Italy to my niece.
Okay. Do you know if it had a line-in jack on it or a microphone jack?
I do not believe it has a microphone jack. I believe it has only the built-in microphone.
Okay. See, that's one thing interesting about this iRiver. It's got one jack on the side for line-in and mic, and you go into the menus and set which one you want it to be.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It is. I've never seen anything like that before.
This may be a little bit more upscale than what I have found at Walmart, but
certainly a much better price on that one at Walmart.
Oh, this was it's the. It took me about a week of search on the internet, and I did a lot of price performance analysis, and this was definitely the one that had the highest, the best price performance ratio.
I'll be darned. So you were going to talk a little bit too about what do you want to start with? The homepage reader?
Homepage reader. Yeah, sure. Why don't we talk a little bit about homepage reader? You know, Larry, early in the year, in the January-February timeframe, we introduced the newest version of homepage reader, and it has some very salient new features that are both of interest to the original audience for the homepage reader, which are really blind internet users and if you want, severely low vision interest users.
Mm-hmm.
In more recent time, a lot of web developers have been taking up homepage reader to do kind of an ad hoc, if you want, accessibility / usability analysis of the internet. Although homepage reader is not a crawler by any stretch of imagination.
Right. Well, just for background, for anyone that doesn't know, would I be too simple in saying that homepage reader is a self-voicing internet browser?
I think that is the correct definition for a homepage reader. It's a self-voicing and magnifying internet browser with multiple language capabilities. So the homepage reader can speak about 8 different languages, and it can also do automatic language switching on individual pages. And then it has been translated itself in about 8 different languages, including several European languages, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, etc. So the basic product has reported to different languages, but even the English product can read a lot of different languages.
Yeah.
But we have done some significant extensions to the product, both to serve our original users and this new class of user web developers that use it as an analysis tool. For instance, for web developers now, to facilitate their work on this product, it was already very easy to learn, is a complete new document that we call the Developer's Help. Essentially, it is a very detailed analysis of how a homepage reader renders each HTML tag and each HTML attribute in a lot of detail, and also how to best code for conformance with the accessibility guidelines.
Oh, excellent.
But what is even more interesting is that this is not simply a document that, it's by the way an HTML document, that you would open and then search through, although you're thusly inclined, you can feel free to. But let us say that you are on a web page and you have now encountered a spot on the page for which you as a web developer have some questions about its accessibility or how to best code it for accessibility.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can request developer help instead of pressing F1 like a regular user. You would press F2 and the homepage reader then will parse quickly the document and open the developer help at the section that is discussing that particular construct.
What a neat feature.
So you may be in doubt whether you should or should not have a alt text for a purple horizontal line. Well, press F2 and you'll be at the section where it discusses what to do with images, and you will quickly discover that decorations should probably not have alt text, and should instead, if you really want alt text, you have an empty alt text, and so on and so on. From a W3C compliance, in Homepage Reader 3.04, we have really scoured the HTML spec.
Yeah.
And we have added support for most every attribute we could find in the HTML spec, including the now ubiquitous mouse event attributes.
Okay.
And we do it in a rather elegant way because, as you know, Larry, one of the challenges when dealing with these lovely mouse attributes is that web developers may decide that they want to define maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 different attributes with different actions on a single HTML element. You may have, a mouse click,
a mouse over,
yeah. A mouse blur, what is it, on key? And each may be associated with a different JavaScript. So rather than making an executive decision and telling you that, there is a mouse over just because that is at the top of a list, we tell you that there is a mouse event. At that point, you have the option of either pressing the enter key and finding out by yourself what's going to happen, or opening a little context menu that we list all the mouse events that are applicable to that particular spot. Select one with the arrow key and press enter.
Is that right?
And that actually makes dynamic HTML menus in a web page accessible.
Yeah.
For example, I'm an absolute photography buff because I was so before I decided to lose my eyesight.
Okay.
I think it still was a stupid decision from my part.
Well, you can always give it back.
I could. Yeah, but apparently they told me that no, once you bought the product, it's
fine. No refunds.
No refunds. So, but anyway, I still love digital photography now, so I use this this site called DP Review, dpreview.com, all about digital photography. At the top there is a navigation bar that has the look and feel of a Windows main menu.
Okay.
And I just arrow or tab to, for instance, the news item. There I press Shift F10 to open, I believe, my context menu. I find my mouse over event. I press Enter. That opens my submenu, which is pasted right next to the news word.
Okay.
And I explore what news are posted there. This happens dynamically without refreshing the page. I press Enter and voila.
So you just arrow down through
the menu. It's very neat.
That is very cool.
And of course, there I have also the list of the other mouse events that in this case are of absolutely no use. How does the web developer use this? Well, they've discovered that, for instance, if they use a mouse over and they have a JavaScript that puts that generates the the submenu just next to the element containing the mouse over event, the submenu can be easily found. And if they simply arbitrarily then create the submenu somewhere else on the page, blind user is left high and dry. But the web developer has to wait to determine that.
Right.
A, try it out for yourself and you'll see. But also press the famous F2 because there is actually a small paragraph in the documentation
right,
that says exactly.
That was fast.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
Pizza is even more important than technology.
All right, let me see. I don't know if we'll really need this silverware, but I'll move it out of the way. All right, gentlemen, does this look like it's going to be enough for you there?
We'll let you know in about three pieces.
All right, you guys enjoy.
Bye-bye.
And we'll test every piece, right?
So, oh, I know, it's awful.
We'll test every piece. But we have added a lot more things in the macroscopic world, really. And now the homepage really has also include something which we call the desktop reader.
Okay.
And you can think of the desktop reader is a simple low power screen reader, which is meant to be able to read the Windows XP desktop and be able to read selected applications.
So you're using MSAA for
We're
that?
We're using MSAA, yes, absolutely. So we have tested it, for instance, against the ubiquitous media browsers, but also the Adobe Reader 6.
Really?
Yes, so you can open a PDF file, an accessible PDF file compliant with Adobe Reader 6 and read it through that, or also accessible Macromedia Flash 7 reads when they're embedded in a web page.
Okay.
So now I can go to a web page where Macromedia Flash is being used typically as a fancy navigation bar, and select whatever page I want or whatever service I want from the Flash movie.
Right.
And there is a lot more to it.
Wow.
Altogether, while we have gone from, you know, officially version 3.021 to 3.04, it is a rather significant release.
And have you tried it, the accessible desktop reader aspect of it with Media Center?
No, you know? I have not. Media Center, actually, not even familiar with it. So,
well, Media Center, you know, it's a new OS based on Windows XP that is meant, you know, it's got the DVR application in it where you can record your TV and go through your channel guide and all this.
To be honest with you, I haven't tried it.
I bet it would work because it actually works with Narrator, but of course Narrator doesn't let you change voices or... I presume there's a way with Desktop Reader that you can repeat things and kind of move around without actually moving the cursor. Is that the case? Kind of like a review, sort of?
There is a very basic review feature which lets you review by what we call item, mm-hmm. by word, or by character. And you enter this simple review mode by pressing, I believe, Control F12.
Okay.
One of the neatest features of review mode is that if you get distracted and you forget where you are, after 30 seconds of inactivity, the review mode will revert back to live mode.
I'll be darned.
And that was done because I am permanently distracted.
That's a good idea. Now, does IBM offer a demo of Homepage Reader and Desktop Reader? I'd love to check this out.
Of course. There is a non-expiring demo of Homepage Reader, which lets you access a small handful of URLs.
Okay.
Rather than the entire internet for only 30 days.
Right.
And you will find that at, well, guess what? http://www.ibm.com/able, A-B-L-E.
Okay.
And follow the links for HPR, and you will find one of the many HPR demos, including the English demo that you probably want to download rather than, well, the German or the Italian.
Right. Now, how much does HPR cost?
The cost of HPR has remained unchanged since 1998 when we introduced the very first U.S. version. It is still $149. And those users who still have a copy of the old version, they can download, instead of a trial, don't download the trial if you have a fully licensed copy, download the upgrade, which is a no-charge item, and you install it on top of the older version that you have already installed.
And my understanding is it comes with ViaVoice. Is that right?
Yes, the Homepage Reader is bundled with excellent pizza.
It's excellent.
Fantastic.
It
wonderful. You need some more coffee?
Sure.
You have to go inside and get me.
Okay.
It is bundled with the 11 kilohertz. Nice truck. It is bundled with the 11 kilohertz Formant multilingual text-to-speech.
Okay.
Via Voice, TTS, which can speak, let me think, American English, U.S. English, German, Italian, French, Castilian, Portuguese.
Wow.
Spanish, already said that, Castilian. And Finnish.
Is that right?
And for all of these languages, we support... two kinds of automatic language switching. If a page uses the lang attributes, would be delighted to switch language on the fly as many times as there are Lang attributes on the page to as many languages that we can support. And if there are no Lang attributes, we'll do an analysis of the page and determine on upon page load what is the most likely language used, and switch to that language automatically.
Okay. Now, who besides this new market of the developer, which, gosh, I can't help but think you're getting a good bit of interest on that aspect of it.
Enormous. Truly exciting.
Yeah. Who, what's your typical user base as far as the actual, the blind person using it to browse the web? Is it the real novice or the person that doesn't have a screen reader? Or do you find that people with screen readers have, you know, this is so much better access that they...
You know, this is an excellent question. And the amazing thing is that yes, yes, and yes. there are reasons for different users to use Home Page Reader. This is divine. I love the garlic.
I love the olives on here.
Oh my God, this is truly like an excellent pizza back in Italy, where I could have it perhaps in a very good pizzeria way back then. So,
well, I'll be darned.
It is splendid to have such a thing in the American heartland.
Well, now that you have
what is
you
the name of this place? I think you should
Cafe Lulu.
Cafe Lulu. Where is it?
It's at the corner of Frankfort Avenue and Pope.
And
P-O-P-P-E.
Pope. And of course, we are still in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, about a block away from APH.
So definitely recommended. Now, going back to our typical Home Page Reader users, definitely, let us say the low vision. Person that has some visual impairment may not have need all a full-blown screen reader, because it's mostly internet-bound work, but wants to be able to survive on the desktop and be able to do some text editing and use a few other maybe media applications. The Home Page Reader will be perfect because it's such a low-cost product and has a very shallow learning curve.
Yeah.
Compared to a classic screen reader, there is maybe 1/5 to 1/10 the number of commands. It's a different philosophy.
Yeah.
Now, in a sense, for the same reason, though, because we serve both the new user with the simplicity. And I need to take this call for just a sec.
Okay.
Guido speaking. Hey, Mark. Okay. Listen, I have a quick question. I have finished the formal meeting, but I'm here with Larry Schoolman.
You guys still doing okay? I'm here.
And I need to know which access technologies you have tested CM against, and at which level. That is something that we can make a note about.
Blind Cool Tech 91, September 101. Hey y'all, I'm Larry Skudkon. Having lunch out here today with a name that many of you will be familiar with, Guido Corona. Hey Guido.
Hey Larry, it's delighted to be here and have this absolutely unforeseen impromptu interview.
That's the way we do it on Blind Cool Tech. So I thought what we'd do is just talk with Guido. He has a really interesting career and some interesting products with the company he works for. And plus, he loves to talk anyway.
Oh, really?
So we hope you all will join us for lunch. And we're sitting outside in front of Cafe Lulu, about a block away from APH. And we've just been presented with some menus here, and we're going to hopefully persuade this nice young lady to read these.
Well, they're very glossy.
Yes, they are.
They feel very nice.
I like them.
Yeah.
They don't taste very good.
No. That vinyl feel.
So you were just telling me about an MP3 player you bought for your niece that's got an SD card.
That's right. The price drops all the time, and I did some search and I found this MP3 player on the Walmart site that I believe was about $49. In outwardly, it was nothing special because it had, you know, a quarter gig of storage, 256 megs,
Can I go and get two of you something to drink?
She already got it.
Oh, did they grab you already? Yeah. Okay, I just want to make
sure. But you know what?
You could tell us
probably the highlights of this menu, if you would.
Well,
that'd be great.
Like the good parts?
Yeah, you can skip the bad parts.
Okay, skip the bad parts. What I personally like, as far as pasta goes, I like the shrimp pesto. And there's crawfish and tasso pasta that's really good. As far as sandwiches, the spinach artichoke roll is good. Chicken portobello roll. Italian sandwich is really good. Then pizza wise, I like the potato pizza. It has like potato, sausage, onions. Surprisingly really good. I didn't know if I'd like it or not.
Does it sound good?
it has rosemary, potatoes, red onions, Italian sausage, marinara, mozzarella.
Oh.
And then smoked provolone cheese. Then I also like, the barbecue chicken pizza is really, really good. Barbecue chicken with green peppers, red onions, jalapenos, mozzarella.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Any other pizzas?
Yeah, we have all kinds. We have like I'm just trying to think what's really good. I haven't tried the Mediterranean. That has sun-dried tomatoes, Kalamata olives, eggplant, roasted garlic, Roma tomatoes, and feta cheese. I haven't tried that one yet.
Wow.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And I have no date tonight, so it's okay.
It's okay. It's all right, yes. There you go. And the roasted chicken pizza. A lot of people get that. That has the garlic sauce, roasted chicken, sun-dried tomatoes, and spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And garlic.
Of
course. And then, of course, you can build your own pizza. Add anything you want on it.
Okay.
Are y'all thinking about pizzas?
I'm thinking seriously about pizza. I always think seriously about pizza.
Every second. Seriously thinking about it.
So is this like a whole large pizza that we'd split?
You can. There's a 10-inch pizza, and that has about 6 pieces on it.
Okay.
I can usually share that with someone and be full. But then we have the 14-inch, and that's really, it's a large pizza. It's a very large. You will definitely be taking some home if you get that one.
All right.
The 14-inch, so.
Okay, yeah. Well, thank you very much.
And there's also, I haven't tried this one either, and a lot of people get that, the wild mushroom and chicken pesto pizza, which has the pesto, mozzarella, wild mushrooms, chicken, red onion, and roasted red peppers. But I haven't tried that one.
Okay.
I still need to branch out a little bit more.
Should we share a pizza?
Sure.
You choose.
And then we also have a soup of the day today. It's cream of asparagus. That is
asparagus all. Pizza.
Oh, well, you know something else that's really good here is their meatball calzone.
Yes, that is good. I was telling them about the pizzas we have.
Okay. Here's your drinks for you.
Oh, thank you.
Y'all have a good lunch.
Thank you.
Thank you. The calzone.
All right. Well, did you gentlemen need a couple of minutes, or had you decided on something?
Did you want to go with the pizza, Guido?
Oh, we've got great
pizza. Let's go with the pizza.
All right. Are you all going to do one of our specialty pizzas, or just one of you're going to build your own?
A specialty pizza would be fine. What do you think?
I agree wholeheartedly.
Yes.
How about the? Which one did she say was really good? All of them.
There was the Mediterranean that sounded very good.
Let's do that.
You want to try the Mediterranean?
Sure.
Do we want a 10-inch or a 14-inch?
It
depends. 10-inch will definitely feed 2 people. 14-inch will probably take some home. So I guess it depends on if you plan on trying to take it with you or not.
10 will probably be 10, good.
Yeah, so that's probably all you need.
Yeah.
Everything that we have here, our portions are all humongous.
I know that from the sandwiches.
Wow, okay.
All right, guys. Well, my name is Emily. If you need something else, you just let me know.
Thank you kindly, Emily. All right.
So what brand is this MP3 player?
Oh.
It's not an MPO, is it?
No, it's not MPO. I think we need to check with my better half. I know I have it on my computer, but let's see if Patricia has the brand.
Oh, that's okay. I was just curious. That's such a good price.
It's an excellent price because, you know, for it's so it has a quarter megs of quarter gig of storage, the tuner. it can record from the radio, it can record through a built-in microphone, but the most fascinating thing is that it has an SD card slot.
Yeah, yeah.
So at that point, you can increase the memory to just about anything you want. There is a new version for $79 that has instead half a gig of storage.
But
why bother?
Yeah.
You know, why bother? Because it still has an SD card, a slot, so there's really no difference. You simply start from a different spot.
Right, right.
I mean, nowadays, an SD card, if you look at what's on sale, you may find a 1 gig SD card for $49 or $59. So
have you tried the recording on it? Do you know if it's a good quality recording?
I personally have not, because that arrived and we sent it off to Italy to my niece.
Okay. Do you know if it had a line-in jack on it or a microphone jack?
I do not believe it has a microphone jack. I believe it has only the built-in microphone.
Okay. So that's one thing interesting about this iRiver. It's got one jack on the side for line-in and mic, and you go into the menus and set which one you want it to be.
Oh, that's fascinating.
It is. I've never seen anything like that before.
This may be a little bit more upscale than what I have found at Walmart, but...
Certainly a much better price on that one at Walmart,
It took me about a week of search on the internet, and I did a lot of price performance analysis, and this was definitely the one that had the highest, the best price performance ratio.
I'll be darned. So you were going to talk a little bit too about what do you want to start with? The homepage reader?
Homepage reader. Yeah, sure. Why don't we talk a little bit about homepage reader? You know, Larry, early in the year, in the January, February timeframe, we introduced the newest version of homepage reader, and it has some very salient new features that are both of interest to the original audience for the homepage reader, which are really blind internet users and if you want, severely low vision interest users.
Mm-hmm.
In more recent time, a lot of web developers have been taking up homepage reader to do kind of an ad hoc, if you want, accessibility / usability analysis of the internet. Although homepage reader is not a crawler by any stretch of imagination.
Right. Well, just for background, for anyone that doesn't know, would I be too simple in saying that homepage reader is a self-voicing internet browser?
I think that is the correct definition for homepage reader. It's a self-voicing and magnifying internet browser with multiple language capabilities. So the homepage reader can speak about 8 different languages, and it can also do automatic language switching on individual pages. And then it has been translated itself in about 8 different languages, including several European languages, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, etc. So the basic product has been ported to different languages, but even the English product can read a lot of different languages.
Yeah.
But we have done some significant extensions to the product, both to serve our original users and this new class of user web developers that use it as an analysis tool. For instance, for web developers now to facilitate their work on this product, it was already very easy to learn, is a complete new document that we call the Developer's Help. Essentially, it is a very detailed analysis of how a homepage reader renders each HTML tag and each HTML attribute in a lot of detail, and also how to best code for conformance with accessibility guidelines.
Oh,
but what is even more interesting is that this is not simply a document that, it's by the way an HTML document that you would open and then search through, although you're thusly inclined, you can feel free to. But let us say that you are on a web page and you have now encountered a spot on the page for which you as a web developer have some questions about its accessibility or how to best code it for accessibility.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can request developer help instead of pressing F1 like a regular user. You would press F2, and the homepage reader then will parse quickly the document and open the developer help at the section that is discussing that particular construct.
What a neat feature.
So you may be in doubt whether you should or should not have a alt text for a purple horizontal line. Well, press F2 and you'll be at the section where it discusses what to do with images, and you will quickly discover that decorations should probably not have alt text and should instead, if you really want alt text, you have an empty alt text, and so on and so on. From a W3C compliance, in Homepage Reader 3.04, we have really scoured the HTML spec.
Yeah.
And we have added support for most every attribute we could find in the HTML spec, including the now ubiquitous mouse event attributes.
Okay.
And we do it in a rather elegant way because, as you know, Larry, one of the challenges when dealing with these lovely mouse attributes is that web developers may decide that they want to define maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 different attributes with different actions on a single HTML element. You may have a mouse click,
a mouse over,
yeah, a mouse blur, what is it, it on key, and each may be associated with a different JavaScript. So rather than making an executive decision and telling you that there is a mouse over just because that is at the top of a list, we tell you that there is a mouse event. At that point, you have the option of either pressing the enter key and finding out by yourself what's going to happen, or opening a little context menu that will list all the mouse events that are applicable to that particular spot. Select one with the arrow key and press enter.
Is that right?
And that actually makes dynamic HTML menus in a web page accessible.
Yeah.
For example, I'm an absolute photography buff because I was so before I decided to lose my eyesight.
Okay.
I think it still was a stupid decision from my part.
Well, you can always give it back.
I could. Yeah, but apparently they told me that no, once you bought the product, it's
fine. No refunds.
No refunds. So, but anyway, I still love digital photography now, so I use this this site called DP Review, dpreview.com, all about digital photography. At the top there is a navigation bar that has the look and feel of a Windows main menu.
Okay.
And I just arrow or tab to, for instance, the news item. There I press Shift F10 to open, I believe, my context menu. I find my mouse over, event, a press center that opens my submenu, which is pasted right next to the news word.
Okay.
And I explore what news are posted there. This happens dynamically without refreshing the page. I press enter and voila.
So you just arrow down through
I
the
I arrow
the
down,
menu,
yeah, yeah. It's very neat.
That is very
other,
cool.
And of course, there I have also the list of the other mouse events that in this case are of absolutely no use. How does the web developer use this? Well, they discover that, for instance, if they use a mouse over and they have a JavaScript that puts that generates the the submenu just next to the element containing the mouse over event, the submenu can be easily found. And if they simply arbitrarily then create the submenu somewhere else on the page, blind user is left high and dry. But the web developer has to wait to determine that.
Right.
A, try it out for yourself and you'll see. But also press the famous F2 because there is actually a small paragraph in the documentation
right,
that
gentlemen.
Says exactly.
That was fast.
Thank you so much.
You are very welcome.
Oh, pizza is even more
you.
Important than technology.
All right, let me see. I don't know if we really need this silverware, but I'll move it out of the way first. All right, gentlemen, does this look like it's going to be enough for you there?
We'll let you know in about three pieces.
All right, you guys enjoy.
Bye-bye.
And we'll test every piece, right?
So, yeah, oh, I know, it's awful.
We'll test every piece. But we have added a lot more things. In the macroscopic world, really, and now the homepage really has also include something which we call the desktop reader.
Okay.
And you can think of the desktop reader is a simple low power or screen reader, which is. Meant to be able to read the Windows XP desktop and so be able to read selected applications.
So you're using MSAA for
We're
that?
We're using MSAA, yes, absolutely. So we have tested it, for instance, against the ubiquitous media browsers, but also the Adobe Reader 6.
Really?
Yes, so you can open a PDF file, an accessible PDF file compliant with Adobe Reader 6 and read it through that, or also accessible Macromedia Flash 7 movies when they're embedded in a web page.
Okay.
So now I can go to a web page where Macromedia Flash is being used typically as a fancy navigation bar. And select whatever page I want or whatever service I want from the Flash movie.
Right.
And there is a lot more to it.
Wow.
Altogether, while we have gone from officially version 3.021 to 3.04, it is a rather significant release.
And have you tried it? The accessible desktop reader aspect of it with Media Center?
I have not. Media Center, actually, I'm not even familiar with it. So,
well, Media Center, it's a new OS based on Windows XP that is meant, it's got the DVR application in it where you can record your TV and go through your channel guide and all this.
To be honest with you, I haven't tried it.
I bet it would work because it actually works with Narrator, but of course Narrator doesn't let you change voices or... I presume there's a way with Desktop Reader that you can repeat things and... kind of move around without actually moving the cursor. Is that the case? Kind of like a review, sort of.
There is a very basic review feature, which lets you review by what we call item, mm-hmm. by word or by character, and you enter this simple review mode by pressing, I believe, Control F12.
Okay.
One of the neatest feature of review mode is that if you get distracted and you forget where you are, after 30 seconds of inactivity, the review mode will revert back to live mode.
I'll be darned.
And that was done because I am permanently distracted.
That's a good idea. Now, does IBM offer a demo of homepage reader and desktop reader? I'd love to check this out.
Of course. There is a non-expiring demo of homepage reader, which lets you access a small handful of URLs,
okay.
Rather than the entire internet for only 30 days.
Right.
And you will find that at, well, guess what? http://www.ibm.com/able, A-B-L-E.
Okay.
And follow the links for HPR, and you will find one of the many HPR demos, including the English demo that you probably want to download rather than, well, the German or the Italian.
Right. Now, how much does HPR cost?
The cost of HPR has remained unchanged since 1998 when we introduced the very first U.S. version. It is still $149. And those users who still have a copy of the old version, they can download, instead of a trial, don't download the trial if you have a fully licensed copy, download the upgrade, which is a no-charge item, and you install it on top of the older version that you have already installed.
And my understanding is it comes with ViaVoice. Is that right?
Yes, the homepage reader is bundled with excellent pizza.
It's excellent.
Is fantastic.
It's wonderful. Do you need some more coffee?
I'm sure.
You have to go inside and get me.
Okay.
It is bundled with the 11 kilohertz. Nice truck. It is bundled with the 11 kilohertz Formant multilingual text-to-speech.
Okay.
Via Voice, TTS, which can speak, let me think, American English, U.S. English, German, Italian, French, Castilian, Portuguese,
wow.
Spanish, already said that, Castilian, and Finnish.
Is that right?
And for all of these languages, we support two kinds of automatic language switching. If a page uses the lang attributes, we'll be delighted to switch language on the fly as many times as there are lang attributes on the page to as many languages that we can support. And if there are no lang attributes, we'll do an analysis of the page and determine upon page load what is the most likely language used, and switch to that language automatically.
Okay. Now, who besides this new market of the developer, which, gosh, I can't help but think you're getting a good bit of interest on that aspect of it.
Enormous. Truly exciting.
Yeah. What's your typical user base as far as the actual, the blind person using it to browse the web? Is it the real novice or the person that doesn't have a screen reader? Or do you find that people with screen readers have, you know, this is so much better access that they...
You know, this is an excellent question. And the amazing thing is that yes, yes, and yes. There are reasons for different users to use homepage reader. This is divine. I love the garlic.
I love the olives on here.
Oh my God, this is truly like an excellent pizza in my back in Italy where I could have it perhaps in a very good pizzeria way back then. So,
well, I'll be darned.
It is splendid to have such a thing in the American heartland.
Well, now that you have
what is the name of this place? I think you should
Cafe Lulu.
Cafe Lulu. Where is it?
It's at the corner of Frankfort Avenue and Pope.
And Pope. And of course, we are still in Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, about a block away from APH.
So definitely recommended. Now, going back to our typical home bakery users, definitely, let us say the low vision person that has some visual impairment may not have need all a full-blown screen reader, because it's mostly internet-bound work, but wants to be able to survive on the desktop and be able to do some text editing and use a few other maybe media applications. The homepage reader will be perfect because it's such a low-cost product and has a very shallow learning curve.
Yeah.
Compared to a classic screen reader, there is maybe 1/5 to 1/10 the number of commands. It's a different philosophy.
Yeah.
Now, in a sense, for the same reason, though, because we serve both the new user with the simplicity. And I need to take this call for just a sec.
Okay.
Rita speaking.
Hey, Mark. Okay. Listen, I have a quick question. I have finished the formal meeting, but I'm here with Larry Schoolman.
You guys still doing okay?
And I need to know which access technologies you have tested CM against and at which level. That is something that you can make a sense about.
You guys going to be able to eat that last piece?
I think Guido's going to handle it.
Alright.
Thank you so much, Mark. Thanks, y'all. Bye. Okay, that was good.
Yeah, good news.
Yeah, Mark Bogner is the accessibility analysis or test lead for software group at IBM, and he spearheaded the whole effort of accessibility on Content Manager.
Okay. Excellent.
And we can go back to our talk on homepage reader. So, old users of previous versions of Homepage Reader, I was saying, can just download the upgrade at no charge and install it on top of whatever they already have.
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to have to give that a try. It sounds fascinating. I presume there's a lot of, you've already described some features that make it go above and beyond the kind of access that JAWS and WindowEyes are providing toward the DOM, the document object model. Do you have some of the features in there, like skipping all the headers and that kind of stuff?
Sorry, skipping the headers?
Yeah, like skipping the junk at the top of every page.
We have, yes.
You know, I've found that not to be very reliable.
Well, the reason why it cannot be reliable is that the mechanism that is used by a screen reader relies on the fact that the top of a page, the nav bar region, is unchangeable.
Okay.
As soon as there is a change in the nav bar, the screen reader will recalibrate itself. And so it will jump to the end of what it considered the last change.
Okay.
Right?
That makes
so
sense.
So if a date, for instance, were posted at the top or close to the top, and that date changed, guess what?
Yeah.
Your automatic skip will only go as far as the date.
Right.
So that's why we are not using this that particular methodology. We are relying right now on the skip to main content link, which we can detect in a variety of ways, and we also have the block jump that will able relatively quickly to jump over entire blocks of common links or common non-links.
Okay.
Actually, anywhere on the page, not necessarily at the top.
Oh, so you've got a command that you can say, skip over all these links right here?
Yes, or essentially, the command acts like a toggle. If you are in a link, it will skip to the first region in the page, or the previous region in the page that appears not to have a bunch of consecutive links.
Nice.
Or if you are in text, it will go to the next, immediately next link.
Nice.
The previous link or something like that. Yeah.
I have got to try that out, because that is, you know, that's a pretty frustrating thing, especially when you're with a sighted person. You see how quickly they can see the relevant new information on a page. Take eBay, for example. You know, there's a ton of junk at the top of every page. And, you know, say you want to look at an item that you're bidding on. I mean, you have to hit page down 4 or 5 times to get to the actual information that you're looking for. Can
That's
we
correct.
Go ahead and pay you?
Oh, sure.
All right. How much do we owe you?
You know, I'm not sure, but I'll...
You'll probably tell me, though.
It's going to be about $15-16. I'll let you
know.
Okay. All right. Thanks again, guys.
Thank
you. There are a variety of ways to do that. But in most cases, when I'm in a page where I know what information I'm searching for, I want, but I don't know where it is. I don't bother with structure navigation of any kind. I just perform a local search.
Yeah.
Control. There are three places where you can do it in Homepage Reader. You can do Control F and type it in there. Control O and type it in there. Or just F6 to the address bar. Prefix your string with a forward slash. Type in what you want. Press enter and you will go there.
Is that right?
And then find again. We are using the old Windows standard F3.
Okay.
So I use that a lot. And that's also, by the way, how I search on the internet.
Yeah.
Because the best way to search on the internet with Google.
All right, gentlemen, it turned out it was only $12.99.
Oh, wow. Okay, can I get you to add $4 on there?
Sure. For
actually, make it $401, so we'll have that nice
the
even.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's an awfully generous tip.
Well, it was great service and excellent pizza.
Well, thank you. Well, let me see. Do you sign your copy?
Yeah.
Right down here in front of you. Just
okay.
All right. Oh, you're good. You're almost right on the line.
They wouldn't take it if I put it on the line. So gotta get it off a little bit.
That's
there.
Right.
Let's see. Have you got my card?
See, it is right here.
All right.
You got it?
Thank you. Emily, was it?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
You're so very welcome. Go ahead and get some of this out of your way. Are you going to need any more coffee or water, gentlemen?
I think I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I'll nourish my water. I don't want to drink it too fast. It may go to my head.
Well,
put you in a bad mood, huh?
You all have a wonderful afternoon.
All right.
Come back and see us again.
We will.
Thank you.
So, searching on the internet is as easy. I was saying the best way to use Google or any other search engine is not to have to bother with the search engine at all. And through Homepage Reader, you can select through about 10 different search engines. And you can add more search engines if you need. And you simply go to the address bar instead of the forward slash. You just type question mark and then the string that you're searching for or the set of keywords that you're searching for. Press enter. we invoke for you the current default search engine and display the results for you, and then you go on from there. It's awfully nice. Now, I think that one of the things that makes a homepage reader unique and the internet browser of choice for so many both web developers, new users, and power users is the fact that you can do things very fast with.
Yeah.
And you can, for two reasons. A, the way that we render information. Remember, we were probably the first browser, internet browser, that used very methodically and by default and en masse voice changes to denote different web elements.
Okay.
Which makes now, reduces enormously the chattiness of a web page.
Sure.
I mean, if sighted people enjoy seeing links in purple with a yellow background and can read it as fast as regular text, why on earth do I have to suffer from hearing the word a link 156 times when using? So why don't we use by default the voice change? People that don't like it can change that. But the other reason, besides compact information, is the, if you want, navigation methodology, where rather than having to learn an excruciating number of different commands and mnemonics, the navigation commands are always the same.
Okay.
Left arrow for previous, down arrow for current, next, with the right arrow for next,
okay,
home for first one, and for last one. And then we simply use mode changes through a menu or a cyclable menu. You simply press F4 as many times as you want. And through that, you can do almost anything you want, including, and I think there must be a bee on my hand, so I have to be careful.
There's something big flying around here.
Even navigating tables is going to be as easy as changing to table navigation mode, and then I can do cell-wise movement, you know, reading one cell at a time, up, down, like, right, and left, with just one single keystroke, instead of three, four, or five per time.
And can you get a list, can you read the whole row at once, too? Is there a mode to let you do that as you're moving, if that's what you want to do? You know, there are some tables that lend themselves to hearing all the information in a row.
We have that on the older user interface through the numeric keypad.
Okay.
In the year 2000, we decided that was obsolete and deprecated.
Okay.
So we have not extended it to the new user interface, but it is still available through a numpad.
Okay. I'll be darned. Deprecated, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like a fascinating product. I've heard about it for years and years, and I've never tried it for some reason, but I think you've convinced me to give it a try.
Just give it a try. It's a very valuable alternative to navigating the net, classic screen readers, such as Window Eyes and JAWS, which, by the way, are exceedingly valuable tools that I could not live without.
Oh, absolutely. Now, back to this, I didn't realize you had this desktop reader in there either.
Mm-hmm.
Does that work, say, for instance, in Outlook Express?
Not at this point. We did not test it completion with Outlook Express. It may work with some of the features, but we will not certify that it works with Outlook Express.
Okay.
At this point, if you want to use Homepage Reader with email, you're best using some of the net-based email services such as Hotmail or Yahoo.
Oh, true. Okay.
And that seems to be working all right.
I bet it would. Or I guess Gmail would be the same way, huh?
On Gmail, I haven't really tried, so I cannot speak to that.
Okay. Yeah, actually, Gmail is kind of funny. You don't actually have a link to your message.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be an issue.
It could be. I haven't tested it. My God, good pizza.
That was excellent. Now, sorry I've kept you talking so much that it's been a little difficult for you to enjoy.
Oh, no.
Enjoy
if you
know
this, my problem is that when I start talking, I don't stop.
Anything else about HPR that people just have to know?
That people have to know. Oh my God! You know, there is a a list of features that is a mile long. Of course, because the world is moving towards nowadays towards mnemonics. As a very elegant alternative to discrete commands that are control key based, we now have also introduced mnemonics for navigating forms, which we use the O for control, and finding tabletops,
okay,
or the beginning of tables, which we use the mnemonic T, and a few other ones.
Okay.
One interesting feature, I think, that was designed expressly for seniors or people with maybe limited hand mobility, is that if a user requires and a user is not comfortable at even navigating to links with tab and shift tab, or navigating words with control left and control right, we have even introduced reading modes for links and words, so that the user that so prefers can literally navigate every single element on the web with simple arrow keys, always the same keys.
Okay.
I don't use that methodology because in reality I use a combination of standard IE type keystrokes that I just listed, you know, the control left and right and the tab and shift tab.
Yeah.
Modes I use, for instance, the table reading mode that lets me read data table with single keys.
Mm-hmm.
If you mnemonics, I do use very consistently the O mnemonic for navigating through forms,
okay,
and the T mnemonics for finding the top of data tables.
Now, okay, this O mnemonic, for instance, you press that, and what it takes, the first thing it does, I presume, is it would take you to the first edit field in a form?
No, it's not the first edit field. It's the first... it's the first element of the first form. So the first time you use it,
okay,
it's going to find the beginning of a form number one on the page.
Okay.
And then repeated O keystrokes will find the next and the next and the next controls,
okay,
in that form, or going to the next form. Now, what is interesting is that some forms don't have an explicit submit button.
Right.
That made for certain forms unusable. So what we have done, we have added some meta text to bracket forms to tell you where the beginning of a form is and the end of a form is.
Okay.
And in many cases, we make the start of form, 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever it is, a clickable element, so that if you don't find the submit button before you go nuts, you go back to the beginning of a form and you press enter on start of form 1, and that will activate the form for you.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
And of course, if you press, I believe, Shift O instead of O, that will navigate you back.
Now, this the table mode. Is there any when you're using the product? Does it automatically go into table mode when it sees that it's in a table, or do you have to explicitly?
No, it does not. The reason is that we unfortunately cannot make the assumption that the user wants to read that table in table mode.
That's true. Often, I guess,
and even with data tables, sometimes tables are nested in a very strange way.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So it is not something that we deem terribly wise. We prefer the user to navigate to the table and then go in manually. One thing that though we do is that we can turn on the automatic announcement of table summaries.
Yeah.
And that will signal the user that there is a table with a summary, and the summary will be read automatically.
Okay.
Which also brings to the point that feature is hopefully going to be used by web developers.
Oh, yeah.
That right now tend to put table summaries on every table.
Right.
Even on layout table. And typically what they will put in the table summary for the layout table is, quotes, layout table, please ignore. But unfortunately, they specify that
it's not ignored,
it's spoken, and I hear that stuff.
Now, does the developer actually get to see that text?
Yes, the developer will, and the reason why the developer sees that text is, this is one of the reasons why developers flock to Homepage Reader, is that Homepage Reader shows or can show two synchronized views of a page.
Okay.
One is the graphic view, essentially identical to what you would see in Internet Explorer.
Right.
And the other one is the text view, that instead contains whatever the synthesizer is able to speak.
Okay.
The two views are kept synchronized with real instant scrolling, so there is no concept of a virtual cursor of any kind.
Okay.
Not only that, but the graphic view will have also a moving highlight that will follow the verbalization word by word by word. And it will even highlight an image if something about the image is being spoken, whether it's the URL or perhaps the alt text or the title.
Okay.
Or
that's
a
very
dreaded summary. That is another reason why web developers find it so interesting. Now, what is fascinating is that feature was not developed for web developers. This is pure serendipity. The feature was developed to facilitate access by individuals with certain forms of reading disorders.
Okay.
And to be able to synchronize the work of, let us say, a blind worker with a sighted colleague.
I see.
Okay, so that the blind worker is seeking information from a sighted colleague. The sighted colleague could immediately determine at a glance exactly what the blind user is hearing, even though perhaps the nature of a text-to-speech or the speed of a text-to-speech is making verbalization totally cryptic to them.
Sure. Well, should we make our way back towards the printing house there?
Absolutely. And, thank you very much, Larry, for the opportunity.
Well, we're going to keep talking.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's all right with you.
I just need to find my cane.
All right.
And I don't have one of those techno canes that talk to me and beat to me. So
that's the next IBM product coming out, I take it.
I believe they're going to create a whole server farm of data canes.
All right, you want to grab arm?
Okay.
Then? And we'll just walk back on this side of the street this time. And that way you can run into all the buildings on the right again.
That's right.
Up up, Jake.
Okay.
Good boy.
Up up. There you go.
So what do we talk about now, Larry?
Well, I think it would be kind of interesting for our listeners to talk about you, Guido. I mean, you're a pretty interesting character. I guess you, were you born in Italy? Is that right?
I was born in the coastal city of Genoa.
Okay.
In 1953. And I lived in Genoa for exactly 1 week.
Okay.
And then I truly grew up in the city of Milan. I came to North America with my family in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, I lived for just over 10...
Whoa, that was a branch.
That was a branch. Okay. For just over 20 years in Toronto. And since 1998, instead, I have enjoyed living in Austin, in Texas.
And how did you come about to work for IBM?
I, at the university, after having studied a variety of things, including languages, philosophy of music, music composition, aesthetics, and other things, I landed in computer science.
Okay.
And I...
I love these accessible lights. I know they're not...
I know, I'm not saying a word.
Not either, but I like them.
I'm not saying a word.
You notice, too, how this goes by the ambient noise. The locator beep gets louder when the cars go by. Yeah. And this thing vibrates, too, if you're deafblind or if there happens to be a train going by, whatever. We don't want to.
And the new version, actually, the entire pole starts shaking.
That's right. It helps you across.
Yes.
You know, that's funny. I've known you for all these years, and I've never really got the in-depth scoop on HBR like that. I'm glad we had a chance to talk.
Don't put that in the recording.
Oh,
he sounds so happy. Sounds like Bob Askew on steroids.
You know, talking about Bob Askew, I didn't realize it till somebody pointed it out that our narrators are actually in the airports all over the country.
Yes, and you know what? Bob Askew is on Kurzweil.
Oh, is he?
Oh, I think so. Because if you load on Kurzweil, you load Neo speech, text to speech. I am almost 100% sure that they use Bob Askew as the voice model.
With Paul, Neo Paul?
For Neo Paul, that's Bob Askew.
Yeah, I can see
including
that.
Including his very peculiar R's.
You know what I love about Neo Paul? Uh-huh. When you have a message box, yes, no? Mm-hmm. Yes!
Oh, that's right.
Yes! So, okay.
going back to I joined IBM. So I ended up at university in computer science, specializing in compiler front ends.
Oh wow!
So compiler constructions, and in particular, we're doing some research on the automatic generation of lexical analyzers, using something very weird called threaded binary trees.
Okay, yeah.
In Toronto there were not very many compiler shops, but a notable exception was the rather large IBM lab, which had a sizable group that was developing compilers for the System 38 and System 36. And so that's how I joined IBM.
Oh, he was taking me the right way. I told him wrong. So this was in Toronto, you said?
That was in Toronto, yes.
And this was right out of college?
Right out of college, that's right.
I'll be darned.
So that was 23 exciting years ago.
And you, when did you move into the accessibility group?
I started in work in accessibility in 1984. When Dr. James Thatcher from IBM Research sent out a very low-key notice that he was working on some kind of weird program that would run on a PC and would be able to speak a 3270 terminal emulator.
Is that right?
And that was called PCSED. I got in touch with him, and just for fun, I became his alpha tester number 4 worldwide.
Taking a left here.
That was about 1984.
I'm going to stop in here and get a postage stamp. I need to mail
something.
Oh, you just want to go up to my office and chat a while?
Sure.
All right. This is the snack bar here if you want some dessert or anything.
Wow. What
Hello.
Do
we have? Hey, Brenda.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi, Larry. Who's
this?
This
is Guido.
Hi, Brenda.
What is it?
Guido?
Guido. Hi, Guido. I'm Brenda Blakemore. Glad to meet you.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi there.
It's just being rumored that there are desserts here.
Oh, yes, all kinds of really yummy diet desserts.
Diet?
Yeah, right, Larry. Larry hasn't had any of those yet.
I did.
I have several different candy bars. I have cupcakes from Hostess. I have Cobra Hill pastries, which is...
Cobra ears?
Cobra Hill.
Oh, yeah.
Cobra Hill, crumb cakes, and...
I don't want anything else.
Yeah.
I want the Cobra ears.
Cobra Hill?
Yeah, and those are the ones that are shaped like this.
Oh, no, I don't have those, sorry.
What, but I don't know what they are, so I need to have one.
Okay.
That's
so
a good reason.
Right over here.
All right.
No anchovy with mine.
Okay, come down this way.
Okay.
Okay, right, here's the big Texas cinnamon roll. That's the cinnamon roll.
Okay, no, but I come from Texas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm not going to have it.
Okay. I have a cream cheese Danish.
Well, that's better. And
then I have the cinnamon. Here's the cream cheese Danish.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the cinnamon crumb cake. There's two of them in there.
I think I go for the cheese Danish.
Okay. No problem.
And how much do I owe you?
They're $1.
They're $1?
Mm-hmm.
What a coincidence.
I just happen to have a dollar bill, do you?
I just happen to have a dollar.
Okay.
Here,
thank
morning.
You very much. I appreciate that very much. I'm glad to meet you.
I'm going to really go low-cal, Brenda.
Are you? Uh-huh. The Rourke's
yeah.
A couple of candy bars?
No, 10 stamps.
10 stamps? Well, I guess that is low-cal.
Well, if he licks enough of them.
Uh-huh. A little fire there.
That's right.
And that's $2. Okay, here we go. Thank you, sir. Out of
five.
Two, three, four, and five. There's 3 points.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Thank
you very much, Larry. Appreciate it. And you all have a great evening.
Well, you too.
Thank you.
Ooh, that smells good. Is that the, what'd you get, the cheese?
This is from Danish Janish.
I think I better get one of those too, I guess.
Okay. Here. They're a real big seller in here.
Are they? I hadn't tried them yet either.
Thank you very much, Larry.
All right, thank you.
Have a good one, y'all.
Okay, you too. Yeah. What time we got here?
It is 10 after 2.
We're doing fine.
Your flight's at what, 5?
5:55.
Okay, so we'll probably... This place actually shuts down at 4:30, so that probably wouldn't be a bad time to get a cab at that point. All right, we're going to head out to your right there.
Okay, let me hold on to your right again.
We actually have to take a little, we We have to go to the basement to get to the second floor because of some construction going on. All right. Gonna take a left down some stairs.
So, what happened is I received this prototype and I was using it for fun.
Right.
Well, it happened that 4 months into the testing of this prototype, I became blind.
Oh, is that right?
Speech access to 30 to 70 emulation
suddenly became very relevant.
Very, very relevant. So
you were doing this purely on an academic basis before that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, you know, I had low vision, but nothing terribly exciting. But all of a sudden, the work that Jim Thatcher was doing became of incredible importance to me. And so my work in...
Well, thank you, ma'am. Hey, Artina, I should introduce you to a celebrity in our field.
Well, stop, and I'm going to introduce you to our new person, too. So.
Well, I think everybody has to have hugs when we do this.
What's your name?
Guido.
Guido
Corona.
Nice to meet you. Let me hug you. My name's Artina.
Nice
all right,
to meet
give
you.
Me a hug, Larry.
Do I have to?
You're lying, dog. You know you want to. And this lady over here, she's our new employee in our office. Her name is Betty Barnes.
Hi, Betty.
She's coming around.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Betty.
You are
very good.
You're
so
well.
What
are you doing? Hi,
nice to meet you. Nice to
meet you. Larry's too kind, and he invented the device she's in front of
me. Hi there. Nice to meet you. Glad to have you aboard.
She is the assistant of our floor. She is taking Cindy's spot as Will B's administrative assistant for our department.
Where'd Cindy go?
Oh, she's now my boss. She took Karen's spot.
Oh, okay.
How are you a legend or a celebrity in our field?
I'm trying to find that out.
That's what I'm trying to tell him on the way down through this basement.
And,
I see. Okay.
When I finally find out, guess I let you know.
Where's that accent from? I like it.
No idea.
No idea, huh?
Picked it up
I
at Cafe
lost.
Lulu.
It's a mixture of Milanese, Italian, and Brit, and Canadian, I suspect.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
And so where's that accent of yours from, girl?
Kentucky and Florida. So you took it to Cafe Lulu's for lunch, did you?
We did. We had excellent
good
pizza.
Yeah, pizza.
Mediterranean.
Oh, they have a great calzone.
Yeah,
next time I'll taste test the calzone.
Oh, they're wonderful down there. I'll let you guys get back to work.
All right.
Like Larry ever does it.
Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, Betty.
We'll see her again, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to take Larry's arm or are you going to trust that guy to take you?
No.
You trust that dog. I trust the dog. I don't know about Larry. Bye, Larry.
Bye.
Bye.
Became rather important for me, this PC set.
Absolutely.
And the PC set had, it was programmable. It had its own scripting language. Or let us say that the entire system was just an interpreter for a bunch of scripts. So I started programming this thing, and the script language grew. And I became more and more involved with the system, and I was the developer of some of the functionality of PCSet, and of the successor of that, the screen reader for DOS, and then the screen reader for OS2. That's how I got into accessibility.
Oh, so you were you were part of what was that? IBM Screen Reader was the name of it, wasn't it?
That's right.
So did you actually do development work on that, or...?
That was done by me. So I was doing that part-time, and I was not working on the core. I was working on a bunch of what we call them as profiles.
Yeah, I remember them well. That was an incredibly robust screen.
Yes, it was. And I was the one who designed a bunch of modules called the Edit Facility.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the Edit Facility was the system's ability, and now it's taken for granted on all screen readers, but at that time it was something incredibly new, to respond immediately to typing keystrokes and to cursor movements.
Okay.
So now we take for granted that when you press up arrow, it should read you the line of the cursor.
Yeah.
Down arrow and then
that's
right,
right
arrow.
There were times when that was all manual, wasn't it?
And wow, what a concept. You mean if you type a word, it actually will echo what you type? But you can't do that. Oh, but yes, you can. And this is how you do it. So I started putting things in.
There's a cheer, right?
That had not even been immediately foreseen by Jim Thatcher. And slowly, slowly, that, you know, became part of the product.
And Jim?
The stuff that I did also took maybe, in one case, maybe 10 years, 15 years then to get into the mainstream. The whole idea of changing the voices on different web elements stems from work that I did in about 1985 to denote different 3270 fields that were visible through different colors on the display.
Okay.
By changing voice on the fly. That was 1985. But I had created a user interface for Technodweebs that was usable by me alone, so the development group decided not to include that as part of a product because it did wonders and it was totally customizable, but it was quite onerous to set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
But you know, it's stuff that now you see on JAWS and you see on other products and all starts with work that I did back in the mid '80s.
Boy, I am so talking about working on screen readers. I'm so glad to be back in the screen reader business. I don't know if you knew it or not, but we're at APH here, we're participating in the open source development now of SpeakUp.
No, I did not know that.
It's relatively new phenomena, but man, it's cool to be in the middle of it. I'm actually not doing the code. In fact, I need to introduce you to the rest of our developers here. One of our new guys is doing that, and he's already added highlight tracking and automatic recognition of highlights. Makes e-links a pleasure to use.
That's other stuff that I did, automatic highlight tracking.
Yeah. So that's how you got into IBM, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Anything else you want to tell the multitudes of listeners on Blind Cool Tech before we call this one?
So many things that interest me besides.
Tell us about your audio interest you were mentioning
yes,
earlier.
I confess I have a degenerative disease for which there is apparently no cure nor hope, which is called digital audiophilic chorea. It is also sometimes called audiophilia nervosa.
Okay.
And it is really unclear what it is caused. It's either a defective gene. There are some rumors that this actually may be a prion. Which is a protein particle. And it's also unclear how you acquire this prion. It may be that you get this prion by it's like with spongiform encephalitis, by ingesting the brain matter of dead Jakob Creutzfeldt disease sufferers.
Are there a lot of those in Austin?
Oh, yes, but it could be that maybe you get infected simply by touching unclean, and clean audio equipment.
No.
And once you got a disease, the disease, there is no turning back. You end up, suffering these cold sweats every time you walk in front of a window of a high-end audio store, and you end up into silly genuflections in front of gleaming audio equipment, and you have also loss of motor control because you tend to extract your credit card far too often and liberally when confronted with any audio equipment, very often advanced sufferers of DAC, we call it, degenerative audiophilic chorea, end up basically on skid row, divorced.
But they have some cool equipment, though.
Oh, they have cool equipment, but they have nothing else.
I may be suffering the beginning stages of that myself.
Oh, it's a terrible scourge, especially when it is associated then by certain very high-end tube-based components.
Wow.
They are absolutely the worst. So, a very severe form of audiophilia nervosa is called aphroditis furiosa, in which the sufferer keeps upgrading components as an ever accelerating pace, pouring greater and greater proportions of once meager salary into the audio system.
Well, the nice thing about being so fascinated with tubes, though, at least there's not a lot of new development in that area.
This is yes, no, and maybe. A lot of the tubes, yes, are what is called old stock, which means tubes that perhaps were manufactured in the 50s or 60s and 70s. On the other hand, I find what is incredibly interesting is that there are a lot of tubes that are coming in from Russia. And the reason why they come in from Russia is that in the heyday of the Cold War, there were all of these tube manufacturers in the Soviet Union that were specialized in manufacturing tubes mostly for avionics and military radio equipment.
Okay.
At the same time, there were some manufacturers in the Western world, Denmark, the US, etc., were specializing into instead solid-state avionics and radio equipment. Now, what happened with the end of the Cold War? It's a classical case of what is it called? Guns into plowshares.
Yeah.
Where these companies that made equipment, military equipment, on one side of the world and the other, the kind of got together on things that had nothing to do with the military. So these manufacturers in the West started to make maybe audio equipment, preamplifiers, amplifiers, mm-hmm. and stuff like that, that used tubes instead of transistors, and they ended up purchasing tubes from these now Russian companies that were still making these very good tubes, okay. originally for the military, and now they were being sold for making music.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that rather ironic, you know. Yeah. For instance, there is now a very famous tube which is called the Super Tube. It's called the 6H30 family. And it was brought into the U.S. by a bunch of Russian engineers, actually, by, I believe, Vladimir Kromenko, who I think was in the military branch back then in the Soviet Union. He ended up working for Balanced Audio Technology in the U.S., and he discovered these military tubes when he was already designing audio equipment, brought them in, and now they're incorporated into a lot of high-end audio equipment in the West.
Interesting.
It's truly fascinating stuff.
So your interest is mainly in the listening side of it, I take
it's really then. In the listening side. And it's amazing, by listening, it's not so much that your hearing gets any better, because it really does not. But what happened is that your brain starts processing music and sound ever more analytically, if you want.
Okay.
And you end up hearing, in fact, more and more and more and more. If you're more into the sound.
Yeah.
And sadly, what just satisfied you 6 months ago doesn't satisfy you anymore today. And you need better equipment. And that creates endless strife at home, where your loved ones just don't understand what's wrong with you. I mean, you bought this preamplifier now only, 12 years ago. And why do you need a new one, for heaven's sake?
Well, I know the feeling.
I know the feeling. On the other hand, I am lucky, because I have a very, very understanding family. And my wife does indulge a little bit my extravagance while keeping a certain amount of control on it.
Now, do you
for my own good, that is.
Do you have children too, Guido?
Yes. I have... one child, Alex, and she is now just starting the sophomore year at college, studying chemical engineering.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
And where does she go?
She studied at the University of Texas at Austin.
Okay, nice school. In fact, I have a cousin that's a professor there.
Oh?
He is one of the guys that invented this reinforced concrete, where they stretch the wire and then pour the concrete on it over the stretched wire.
The pre-stressed slab, yeah.
So,
a structural engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Or civil engineer.
I hadn't talked to him in years and years, but he teaches there at UT.
Ah.
You also have I've noticed, since I'm a big Bookshare fan too, that you seem to do a lot of scanning, I take it.
Yeah, I have scanned a lot of books. My first OCR machine was the last of a great 300-pounders. It was the KRM-400.
Oh yeah, I remember that machine.
The last of the laundry machines on iron casters. The one that still had a copy of Adventure or Cave by pressing Special Command 47 on the keypad.
Now tell us about that. I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay. So that was the most expensive Dungeon and Dragon toy machine ever invented by mankind. So this machine was powered by, I may be wrong, but I think there were three Nova or Eclipse engines in it. It had three cooling fans. It did not use, let me think, a CCD wand, but it had a Vidicon camera on an XY table.
Okay.
That navigated the page.
Yeah.
And with it I scanned the old compiler design and construction by A-hole Sethi Ullman and Hopcroft in 1986. And I started work scanning that, I remember, on the 26th of December. And I finished scanning it on the 6th of January, because this thing would take ages to process.
Yeah, yeah.
then following that, I had the lunchbox version of that. And I went through several, but starting, I believe, in 1986 or 1985, sorry, 1995 or 96, I started to use the very early Kurzweil 1000, when it was still called Omni 1000.
Yeah,
I think it was version 3, and I have never looked back. I must have scanned probably close to 500 books.
Wow.
And when Bookshare came into being, I submitted most of the books to Bookshare for publication. At least, I submitted all the books that I deemed were in a quality good enough so that I was comfortable putting my name on the scan.
So I guess you're, since you've scanned that many books, I take it you're an avid reader as well. And I think you mentioned earlier you had, what, 7,000 books on your PC?
Yeah, there
right
I have 7,000 books.
That you take with you on the road.
Oh, yes. Not only I take them on the road, but I'm very paranoid about these e-texts. So I usually do weekly revolving backups of all my entire e-text collection.
Okay.
I lost my disk drive once, and that was enough.
Yeah.
So I back up all the 12 or so gigabyte of stuff once a week.
Now, are you continuing to scan on a feverish pace like that?
You know, not quite such a feverish pace, but yes, I do continue to scan.
And what do you scan now? Not compiler manuals, I hope.
No, I have not scanned compiler manuals at all. I end up scanning these days a lot of thrillers, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. Junk.
Junk or quality junk, yes. You know, I work 10, 11 hours a day. I don't feel like reading things that are remind me even closely of work
I totally understand. I
but
love it.
I have changed. On the other hand, I used to scan, and I used to I used to read a lot of science fiction, and slowly that interest faded.
Yeah.
And now it's more the maybe the legal thriller or the psychological thriller or the occasional historical novel that excites me.
And you read them, what, on your book courier mainly?
I read them a lot. I read them on a variety of devices. The prime reading tool is still, for me, my laptop.
Oh, is that right?
And I read them through Kurzweil.
Okay.
I also have read books on book courier, both as e-text and through MP3 converted files. I did the conversions through Kurzweil. I also have read books through the Humanware Maestro as e-text.
Okay. How was that for a reading appliance?
That product is coming along quite nicely. However, I have not used at this point their DAISY reader quite yet. What I have been doing, though, is to load the book, split in about chunks of about 100 pages, into the note taker, and then reading them through the using the read all function. And that turns out works quite well because the Maestro is able to drag the cursor along with the verbalization.
Okay.
So that if you stop and even you turn it off, it will actually, and you say, okay, read some more, it will actually resume from where you left off.
Nice. You know, I've been wondering why someone hadn't developed a reading application on these Symbian-based phones that are running Talks. I know there is a reading a library reader that was developed for the mainstream, and it works okay, but of course there's no read all command with Tox. But it looks like it would be a pretty easy matter to actually create something that just fed it out to that speech synthesizer.
There is something tells me that the advanced version of Tox may have some kind of Daisy reader. I'm not quite sure.
But something in
the back of the mind says there may be something like that.
Now, what do you mean the advanced version of Tox?
I think there is a base there. First of all, I don't know too much about it. I know there is a version 1 and a version 2.
Right.
And then there is kind of a supplement package of little applications that you can add.
I did not know that.
I believe so, yeah.
Or you're thinking of mobile speak, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe it's mobile speak.
Because I know they've got a thing like a color identifier. That.
Yeah, I'm not sure. As I don't have an accessible phone, so.
Okay. Have you seen this new screen reading, I guess, quote, screen reading application that mobile speak has got for the, like, the iPad?
No, I have not.
This is fascinating. I only had about 10 minutes to look at it, but actually we've got a beta of it here if you want
to
take a look.
Sure,
at it.
I would love to see.
Hey, let's see.
Are you still recording?
I'm gonna close it down right now. Well, this has been an extensive chat and lunch with Guido and Corona. It's always fascinating to talk with Guido, if you can ever get a word in edgewise, that is.
I don't talk that much. Only when I'm with Larry.
And
that has been observed before.
Right. So I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. If you'd like to contact us, the audio comment line is 206-984-9203. Email is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and we're on the web at blindcooltech.com. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Guido.